Manny the Mailman here, and I just want to say to you that if I'm out on my route misdelivering letters, it's most likely because I'm listening to the Into Your Head podcast, hosted by Joanne and Neil O'Carroll. It's Ireland and the world's most brilliant podcast.
Yes, a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 90-something, probably 90, I don't know, 95, that's something like that, something of the 90 persuasion. Well, not persuasion, it's not a religious thing, it's just a group of numbers between 91 and, well, maybe between 90 and 99. One of the ones beginning with the syllables 90. One of those, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's one of the 90s shows anyway. I don't know. You probably do know. You're probably an expert on that sort of thing. You probably just happen to have a postgraduate degree of some sort in numerology. Now you don't say whether it's a doctorate or just a little master's degree that you did, just to fancy up your CV. You probably did some sort of BA, a Bachelor of Arts. Bachelor of Arsery, if you ask me. That's what I call that sort of thing. If only to be insulting for no reason. Just for filler, really. I like to insult you just to fill up a couple of minutes of the show. I'm jealous, if I were honest, because I never managed to finish my frigging degree. I was doing a degree in... Oh, I don't know, something. Well, I do know what it was, but I can't be bothered explaining. It was a degree in accounting and finance, if you must know. It was basically a numerology degree of sorts, but it went on the assumption that you already knew how to count numbers, and it basically taught you the legalistics of implementing the numbers and recording them and keeping track of them in an appropriate manner in accordance with the statutes and with the accounting standards laid down by the various authorities. So basically that's what accounting and finance was, and still is. It's just that I'm not involved in it anymore. I may be again at some point in the future. I may decide I'm going to go back into either accounting or finance, and I'll become an accounting expert or a finance expert. The difference is between an accounting expert and a finance expert is that a finance expert knows where to get the money, and an accounting expert knows how to keep track of it. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, what do you call a person who knows how to do both? Well, you call that an accounting and finance expert. I would have thought that was obvious, but apparently not. Apparently nothing's obvious. I wouldn't make a very good teacher. I don't know what's obvious. A good teacher knows what's obvious and what's not obvious, and picks out the things that aren't obvious and explains them to make sure that everyone understands them. Clearly I don't have a talent for that, so I won't become a teacher, not even of accounting and finance, because I may well become an expert in accounting and finance, but I won't be an expert in what people know and don't know about it, and what's obvious and not obvious, and in what type of people are good at seeing the obvious. Because of course, even if something is obvious, you might have a pupil who's not very good at seeing the obvious and spotting it, and you have to explain it to them anyway. So now I know what you're thinking there. You're saying you could just explain everything to everybody and that'll save time. Well, it won't save time. It'll waste a lot of time if there's a lot of people there who know the obvious. For example, if everyone in your class that you're teaching already knows all this stuff, then there's no point in teaching it to them. So you're supposed to ascertain what's the most economic way of teaching your children. Find out what they do and don't know. Avoid wasting time by teaching stuff that they already know, and then teach stuff that they don't know, and make damn sure they know that stuff that you teach, because otherwise you haven't taught it properly. So basically there's a crash course for you in how to become a teacher. Wedges of what? Does he mean wedges of potatoes? Or does he mean wedges of turnip? Because he's some sort of weird vegetarian who doesn't like to eat potatoes in case they've got a... Well, in case they've got traces of meat in them, but he's convinced that turnips are fine as a replacement for potatoes. Or does he mean he's eating wedges of meat? Or perhaps he means he's eating a big giant wedge of cheese. Well, maybe if more than one wedge of cheese, because he did say wedges after all. He did make it clear that it's plural. Or maybe he's eating wedges of Toblerone chocolate. Although that's more, do you call them wedges, those triangular pieces? I don't know. I don't. Maybe someone else does. After all, we all have our own language for things. Well, you were right in your first guess. You could have stopped at that, because I am eating wedges of potatoes. So when you said, is he eating wedges of potatoes, you were right. There was no need to go on with all those other ridiculous guesses. I'm eating wedges of potatoes that have been coated in some sort of spices and dipped in tomato ketchup. And as far as I'm concerned, it's absolutely... the most delicious, fantastic meal I've eaten today. So if you don't mind, I'm going to carry on eating it. What you probably... don't realise is that the wedges have crinkle cut shapes in them. I've only just realised this too. And my wife must have found some sort of implement that makes them look like crinkle cut crisps. I don't know. It probably adds to the taste in some way. It's like if you're preparing a vegetable patch for sowing seeds in, and you make little. Or you make little rows with your garden fork, your garden rake, and that somehow allows the water and nutrition to flow along where the seeds are. And maybe doing that to potatoes has some effect that allows the flavouring to get through better or something. I don't know. I can only imagine that my wife had some good reason for doing it. She wouldn't just add these little lines and grooves to the potato pieces just to make them look good, because of course she knows there's more to life than presentation. Presentation of food isn't important. It's what it tastes like. If you ask anyone in Africa, they'll tell you it's all very well sending me a big bag of rice that's got a picture of Mickey Mouse on the bag and it's dropped from a helicopter that looks really cool. And it's got UN written all over it, and it's got, here, have some food on us, and please don't die, we'll come back in a couple of years and check on you. All that doesn't matter if the food tastes like crap and you can't eat it, because no one wants to eat something that tastes like crap. So it's not that they don't want to eat it, it's just they're repulsed by the taste of crap, and their body rebels against it, and if they try to eat it, they would throw up immediately. Their stomach would say, I'm not having that, get rid of that out of my system immediately. And the brain may well say, it's not crap, it just tastes like crap, and it's full of vital nutrition that you need, stomach. But the stomach will just say, fuck off, I'm not eating that, I don't care. I'll just shrink away and shrivel into nothing. What do I care? I can just absorb whatever fat is left over and on the bones, and when that's gone, I'll start absorbing the bones. And then someone else will probably turn up in a helicopter with some French fries or something decent. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, you couldn't send these to Africa. Why would you? I'm enjoying them too much, and they're nearly gone anyway. There's only about 5 pieces left of wedges. And they're going to be gone in a couple of minutes, I can tell you. If I wasn't recording while I was doing this, they'd be going much more quickly, I can tell you. I'm not giving them my full and undivided attention. I don't mind, though. I don't mind speaking to you while I'm eating. You deserve it. You're a loyal listener who stuck with me through the ages, through thick and thin. He stuck with me through all the crap last year when I took a break for the summer and didn't record anything. And then he stuck with me through all the crap this year when I pumped out 50 or 60 episodes just because I had nothing else to do. I think you're absolutely fantastic, to be perfectly honest, so I'm more than happy to share my meal times with you. I only wish I could offer you some of this food into your mouth somehow. Probably they will invent a technology where you can do that sometime in the future, but it'll probably only work with live shows. It won't work on a podcast, because you can't record. Although I suppose it could be some sort of hologram that I record and embed in the MP3 file, and it'll produce a copy of a replica of this food that'll come out of your future iPod and put into your mouth. But it'd have to be very well programmed, or else the fork would stab you in the face. If it goes at the wrong angle or something. So that could be dangerous. That could result in lawsuits. So when that technology arrives, I don't think I'll be involving myself with it. I'll probably just, stick a recipe onto the end of the foil or something. That's a safer thing to do. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. That's wedges for you.
Hello, I'm Dustin Meehan, and when I'm in Ireland, I listen to Into Your Head.
Now, as you join me, I'm just producing a beverage which will hopefully caffeinate me sufficiently to get me through the rest of the show, because frankly, I've had a long day. I've been up since 5:30 in the morning. I haven't been back to bed since. I've been away from it. I've avoided beds completely. Now, I may well have walked past a furniture shop at some point, but that wasn't... It would be ridiculous to bring that up and throw it back in my face as if it's some sort of a... as if you're catching me out. Only an enemy would do that. I mean, even if you did, you'd look pretty stupid if I produced the appropriate counter-argument. Because I wouldn't have to be come up with much. I just have to explain why walking by a furniture shop that has a bed in it may or may not have a bed in it. Although I suppose the probability is that it does. But even if it does have a bed in it, that's not going to affect my level of... sleep that I got during the day, unless I went into the furniture shop and lay down in the bed and went to sleep, which seems unlikely. Suppose you could ask me straight out whether or not I did, and I'd have to tell you. But I could quite honestly stand up and be direct and say, no, I did not go into a furniture shop and sleep on the bed at any point during the day. So there you go. So that's that sorted out. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking that was a bit of a crap segment. It was just basically you saying I didn't sleep in a furniture shop today. Well, I was just replying to your metaphorical argument. I don't know whether or not you made an argument that I may have gone in and slept on a furniture shop bed today, so I have to go on the basis that you may have, and I have to cover that possibility. So I had to go ahead and make that argument and deal with the allegation that I went into a furniture shop and slept on a bed, whether you made that allegation or not, because as I say, I have no way of knowing whether you did. I have to prepare for all possibilities, and I'm not saying you did, and I'm not saying you didn't, you probably did. Well, one of you probably, the chances are 50% of the audience probably did. 50% of the audience probably listened to me and thought the worst of thinks the worst of everybody and thought, that guy's lying, he has been to bed during the day, he hasn't been up non-stop since 5:30, he went into a furniture shop and he slept on the bed, because that's the way the media has us, we're all basically suspicious of everything. We think the worst of everything. If someone says something, we assume that they're lying, or that they've got some ulterior motive, or that they're trying to make money out of us, or they're up to no good, or that they're everyone else is wrong and everyone else is a bastard except us. That's what we think, us humans. Well, it's not the case. Everyone isn't a bastard except us. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, he's just saying that to sound positive. He's trying to put a positive face on things. He's like that guy who started a newspaper a few years ago that was all good news, and there had nothing but good news, all positive, and didn't sell at all, and ended up closing down because people don't like good news. Well, I'm sorry you don't like good news, but if there's good news there, I'm going to accentuate it. I'm going to accentuate the positive and decentuate the negative. I'm going to be negative about negative stuff and positive about positive stuff, because the laws of physics demands that anyway. If you've ever studied electricity, you'll know that two positives attract and negatives repel. So you should be negative about negativity and positive about positivity. It's not that you should be that way, it's just that you have no choice. The laws of physics force you to. You have no option but to be positive about positivity and negative about negativity. And there's no point trying to argue against the laws of physics unless you come up with some alternative universe, which you may well do if you've. But before you do that, before you come up with fancy new theories, you have to study the basics first and study what mankind has learned first. The likes of Isaac Newton didn't start dropping apples on his head when he was 3 years old. Of course he didn't. First he went to school and learned he learned all the existing knowledge first before he started trying to research and add knowledge to it. If you're trying to write the next James Bond book, you have to go back and read all the original James Bond's book first. Otherwise you're just going to make a cock-up of it. So you're just being arrogant. And if there's one thing I can't stand, it's arrogance. Arrogant people, as far as I'm concerned, are bastards. Well, not in the legal sense. I keep saying the word bastards today. I don't mean to be insensitive, because it's not a nice word to use. And I'm using it in a rather rude and vulgar way. And I don't mean to. I take it back. In fact, I take back every instance of the word bastard that I've used during this episode, and I replace it with the word tiddlywink. Now I know what you're thinking. That's two words. Tiddlywink. Well, it's not. It's a new word I've made up. It's made from the words tiddly and wink, but it's a new word. It's tiddlywink, and it's an insult, but it's a nice insult. It's a modest insult. It's like if you replace the word fuck with eejit, it's a lot nicer, a lot more pleasant, and less aggressive. And that's basically nicer, because it's all about, I want to be nice. I want to be a nice, decent, upstanding member of the community, especially on the internet, because the internet is full of negative people who go around saying, they go around in forums saying, hello, you're an idiot, I hate you, you're gay, and your head fell off, and you're related to Hitler, and I saw you murder someone today in cold blood, and even though you haven't been convicted yet, I'm going to tell the whole world about it, because I've decided you're innocent unless proven guilty, or guilty unless proven innocent, I should say, and I filmed you on my mobile phone, I'm going to put it up on the internet, and I'll put it up on YouTube beside the video of Saddam Hussein getting executed, and we'll let them fight them out and see who gets to the top, because Saddam Hussein, he was quite high up on YouTube for a while. Someone posted two telephone videos of him dying, and it was tremendous entertainment for those of you who are negative. I'd have rather seen a video of Saddam Hussein being born, because that would have been nicer. We could have seen him before he became evil, and before he started doing all the dictating and killing and stuff, and when he had a clean conscience, when he was, well, I suppose he had inherited sin. If you're a Christian, you believe in inherited sin, original sin that you inherited from Adam and Eve when they did the thing with the apple. But of course Saddam Hussein didn't believe in that sort of thing. He wasn't a Christian. He was from one of those other religions that believe in other gods, and they don't believe in Adam and Eve. They believe in some other guy, some other, I don't know. I don't know what Muslims believe about, what you call it, about the creation of the universe. Maybe I should look that up. Hold on a minute. Internet. Google. Muslims believe in Adam and Eve? Search. Do Muslims believe the story of Adam and Eve? Yahoo answers. Let's see. Yes, the Quran speaks of Adam and Eve. It also speaks of Noah, Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, blah, 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 blah. So I was completely wrong about that, unless this person whose answer I'm reading on Yahoo Answers is lying or is wrong. I'm not going to trust him, because I don't know, it says stuff. I believe stuff that I read on the internet. If you don't mind, I'm going to finish off today's recording session in a moment, because I've had enough. I don't think the caffeine has worked. I seem to be talking about the internet and Adam and Eve in the Muslim world and all sorts of crap that has no educational merit whatsoever. No merit of any kind. No educational merit or entertainment merit. So I think we just finish off with a cat song. If you don't mind, and thank you for listening. If you listen to Into Your Head, if you have any comments, please go to intoyourhead.com/stalk and record a voicemail or post in the guest book there, and basically stuff. Have a nice week. Don't shoot anyone in the head, and if you do, own up to it. Go to the police and say I shot this person in the head, because if it was worth shooting the person in the head, then it's worth owning up to it and being brought to justice. That's what O.J. Simpson always said anyway. Cat song. Oh, cat, 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 I got a new cat. I forgot to talk about it on the show, but I got a new cat. This cat is not very fat, yes, it's quite small at the moment. It could probably fit into the hole in this guitar. And it's a she, and it's called Kofi the Cat. Kofi for short, but Kofi the Cat is his full name, so if you're referring to it formally, you'd probably say Kofi the Cat, but that'd be a bit much. You'd probably just say Kofi the Cat, but just be aware that Kofi the Cat is the cat's full name, and if you want to give its name and description, then you'll say Kofi the Cat. Now, alternatively, you could say Kofi the Definitive Article Cat the Cat. Although why would you do that? I don't know. That'd be ridiculous. Anyway, this is the first ever cat song about Kofi the Cat, the little kitten that we got. Oh, Kofi the Cat, Kofi the Cat, Kofi the Cat is not yet fat. Kofi the Cat, Kofi the Cat, Kofi the Cat is sitting on the mat. Kofi the Cat, 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 Kofi the Cat. Kofi the Cat, 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 Kofi the Cat.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guest book
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.